It's not hard. It's good, right? It's good. Good. Thankful for those songs this morning. They preached. They actually preached a lot, didn't they? But if you have your Bibles, we're going to preach a little bit more. Moving to Romans chapter 5 for a minute, for a bit. I want to remind you that God created man to live. That's what he did. He created man to live. But sin brought death. That's exactly what sin did. Sin brought death. But God created man to live. Sin brought death. And God has a plan. It involves us, but it's all God's doing. You didn't have to do anything. Now, if you want to be a part of God's plan, you have to make a choice. But God made man and created man to live. Breathe a living spirit in him. How powerful is sin? Sin is very powerful. Sin brought death. But God is more powerful. Romans chapter 5, it says down here in verse 6, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Just at the right time, we were still powerless, and Christ died for the ungodly, which is us. That's who we were. We were ungodly. We were separated from Christ. But verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die. God didn't put the plan out when we were doing good. He did it when we were bad. When we were sinful. He said when we were still sinners. So when we were still sinners, God was still doing his work. And that's why Christ came. And he died for us. Imagine for a moment where you would be without Christ today. Just think about it. There's not a person here that has Christ that would go back and think about it. They would know that they would be in a really rough place. But he says in verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Let me tell you, God's wrath is coming. There's nothing you can do about it. God's wrath is coming. But when we have a relationship with Christ, we don't go through that God's wrath. But God's wrath is coming because people are sinful. Let me remind you, this is God's world. This is God's air that we breathe. The grass and the fields are his. The trees that grow are his. Regardless of who says they own it, a piece of paper, yeah, you might get it for a few years, and then it goes to somebody else. Nations may claim another nation, but in the end, it's all God's. He's in control. As much as nations and leaders want to say they're in control, all it takes is a moment of God just to... God can do anything he wants. God's a kingmaker. Could take one out, put one in, just like that. No one trumps God. No one trumps God. But his wrath is coming. But we're going to be saved from God's wrath through him. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. For it, while we were God's enemies, and we were, because we lived against God. We lived against his ways. And when we do that, even as Christians, we have this conviction by the Holy Spirit that reminds us and tells us that what we're doing is an offense against God. So it isn't that once we're saved, we come to Christ, and so we can go out and live the way we want. No, that heaviness of conviction is going to lay on you until you deal with it. And there are people that have that conviction of the Holy Spirit on them for years, upon years, upon years, upon years. And they don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. You do not have to live that way. But God's wrath is coming. But while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. And how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only in this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have now received reconciliation. Now we're brought back to God through Jesus Christ. Once that sin separated us, Christ brought us back. So Christ brought us back. Easter is what we celebrate, the risen Savior. The death couldn't hold Him. Well, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? Jesus took care of all that for those who come to Him. In Romans chapter 6, he says in verse 6, he says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him." And that's what happened. Our old self. The old Jimmy was crucified. The old Mike was crucified. The old Phil was crucified. Which Christ, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That's what Christ is doing. Separate, getting that sin out of there. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Let me just tell you, if you come to Christ, there's nothing, there's no sin that can overtake. I'm telling you, it is defeated through Christ. You got to quit thinking, we have to quit thinking that the sin is bigger than Christ. It's not. Right, Jeremy? It's not. You can overcome things. Listen, Christ did everything at the cross. He took care of it all at the cross. Everything. Even those sins that some of us are still working through. We're trying to stop some sinful activity in our life. Let me tell you, He sets you free from it. So grab a hold of it. Run with it. Make the change. But I'm telling you, you can't make the change without Him. If you could, you would have done it already. And you can't. You'd be lying to yourself. You need Christ. I think everybody has some things in their life that they just cannot change without Christ, period. It causes us to rely on Him. But now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. Hey, there we go. That is good stuff. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. This is all God's plan. To reconcile all lost people back to Him through Christ. And in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We should be dead to sin. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sins as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourselves to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. There is a change that happens when we come to Christ. There is a change that happens. In Colossians chapter 2, it tells us a little bit more. In 2 verse 13, it says, "When you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your faith, of flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins." All of our sins. Not just part of them. Not just that one, but all of them. You need to accept it. All of them. "Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness," every one of us have broken God's commandments. We've sinned. Indebtedness to the sins that we've committed. But Christ paid for those sins. He paid for your debt and my debt. He didn't have to do that. But He paid for that. How did He do it? He says, "Which stood against us and condemned us." It's our sins condemned us. We have a debt to pay. But He has taken it away. How? Nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. Let me remind you right now that if you're struggling with some sin in your life and you're being pulled back and forth, I want to tell you, you're into some spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is when there's just a part that evil darkness comes up on, trying to get you to move back into that darkness. God is moving you toward His light, toward the goodness of and the following Him. There's a battle that goes back and forth. Some of you are in it. I can feel it this morning. I'm just saying, being honest. You need to trust Jesus more than you do yourself. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, because I'm telling you, darkness and death had its power. Still has power, but not over those who are saved. Not over those who have come to Christ. Not of those who are part of the family of God. Let it go. It says, having disarmed the powers and the authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumph over them, how again? By the cross. It was by the cross. But it was also the burial. But the power of it was the resurrection. That He was raised to life and broke the chains of death and separation from God. God created man to live. Sin brought death. But God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the life preserver is thrown out to you to grasp on to the gift of salvation. I want to share with you three things that I think I really love about Easter. And it reminds me about my salvation. Number one, with Jesus, I learned to live. With Jesus, you learn to live. You really learn to live. With Jesus, you understand things now as the way God wants them and designed it to be. With Jesus, you learn to live. Once you come to Christ, you learn to live. But you learn to live His way. And you can do it. Let Him lead. And He'll lead you away from the evil and darkness that's in your life. And lead you to the goodness and the blessings of His life. So with Jesus, you'll learn to live. Really live. Number two, with Jesus, you learn to be alive. Now there's a difference. I'm alive. People that don't know Christ are zombies walking around. They're dead men. And dead men walking. I wonder what the angel said. Dead men walking right down Main Street. 55 years old, 60 years old, dead woman walking. All the dead are walking today all over this world. Because they're not alive in Christ. They're not alive in Christ. There's more zombies around than you know. The only way to go from death to life is through Christ. And when you experience that transformation, you become alive. But alive in Christ. Not in the world, but alive in Christ. Living on the world, you learn to live. You're alive in Christ. There's a different kind of pumping that goes on in here. There's a different kind of heartbeat that goes on in here. No matter what you go through, you can make it. I've learned to live. But I also know what it feels like to be alive. To be alive. Another one of those pieces is this, with Jesus. It's eternal. With Jesus, life never ends. Oh, it'll end here. We put so much stock in this place. But with Jesus, we learn to live eternally. That has been defeated. We don't have to worry about death. We see no end because there is no end. Let me just give you a side note. When you see me in the coffin, some of you are going to be here when I'm dead. Don't you cry over me. Don't you cry over me. Don't you cry over me. Because I'm going to be right where I want to be. I want to be right there with Him. I want to see some people that have preceded me in death. Some of them have been members of this church. Some of them have been family. Some of them are my family members. There's some people I want to see. This third piece that I'm sharing today, where it says, with Jesus, life never ends. It's eternal life. There's some people that I want to see here. I remember Louetta Smith. I remember Andrew Geringer. I remember Mike Myers. I remember Jason Boyce and my father. I remember so many others. I remember Sid. I remember his wife. I remember all those people that have passed on. When you come to Christ, it's not a goodbye. It's I'll see you in a little while. I'll see you in a little bit. Because it's eternal. Salvation is eternal. So it makes me more excited to know this, that right now I'm just not home yet. I'm not where I'm going and I'm heading. There is a life for me to live here. There is a purpose. When Christ gives you life, you find out that there is a purpose for living now. And it's not about selfishness, but it's about God's purpose in your life. You find purpose with Christ. You find purpose with life. I learned to live. I learned to be alive. And it's never going to end. I can wake up in the morning, no matter what front of my day or what losses I had the night before or what defeats I may have had temporarily. It's all okay. There's a peace that you can't explain, except that there's a peace of God that can calm the biggest of storms. And you don't get that until you learn to be alive, until you live, until you know that life is eternal. Listen, fear is a beast. Outside of death, I think the next one is fear. Fear is a beast. But when you learn to live with Christ, and you know that you're alive, and you know that this is all eternal, I'm telling you, fear starts to shrink. There's too many of us that are living in fear. Even Christians, fear of death. There might be some pain and suffering in the exchange from this life to the next. But I'm telling you, you won't go through it alone. Because Jesus Christ is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Let me tell you, when you do it the way God is with you. And everything is under His footstool. So maybe these other things aren't quite so big. Now I understand. Losing a loved one, the heart takes a heavy toll. But our peace is with God. God will get you through. Christ will get you through. When I see the resurrection, and I know Jesus is resurrected, I know this, there's a day that you and I are going to be resurrected. Now, I don't think anybody understands all that, but we trust Him because He said so. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. So one day, we're going to rise up. We're going to meet Him in the air. And He's going to know you, and you're going to know Him. And I think it's just going to be a field of smiles, a sky full of smiles. Who can get there fastest? I don't know. Easter means a lot to me. It's the victory flag. It's the we won. There's a chance now. There's hope. There's a way. And it all leads to Jesus Christ. Are you living? Do you feel alive? Are you reminded of eternal things? Or are you always pushing eternal things away because you're not ready? Now understand, we want to live the life we have here. It's an old song that goes, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I understand that. But if you keep pushing off eternal things and you don't want to talk about eternal things, there might be a problem. Your spirit might not be ready. If it's not ready, it's probably not right. I'm going to read this one more time. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God created man to live. Death was brought in by sin. Sin brought death. But Jesus defeated death at the cross. And with his resurrection, they couldn't find him, because he wasn't dead. Still lying in the tomb. He had rose again. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." There's nothing more that he needed to do. But there is something that we need to do. We need to ask ourselves, have I received and have I accepted what Christ has done for me? Do I believe in him? For the lost person, I'll call them zombies. I'm just saying, dead people walking. The only way to come alive is to come through Christ. For you that are Christians and your life isn't right, I want to tell you this. You'll feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit until you do get it right. Because God's discipline is very, very strong. The word says, for God disciplines those whom he loves. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. He loves you. He's disciplining you because he loves you. He wants you to get back in gear. He wants you to get back in line. Because he designed a purpose for you. And when you're living outside the will of God, I'm telling you, you're not living out his purpose. Easter is a time to reflect on what Christ has done. Easter is a time to reflect on where our life is with Christ. It's a refreshing new start for us if we need one in our life. It's not getting restated. It's a check. Just as we're getting ready to do communion, it's a check. There's a part in Scripture that says to examine yourself. Easter is a time to examine your life and to reflect on what Christ has done and how your life has been in the last year. Are you moving more toward Christ? Are you moving more away from Christ? You can't experience the living for Christ and the being alive for Christ if you're moving away from Christ. And you're definitely not going to think about eternal things if you're shying away from Christ. Who needs Christ today? All of us. Who has Christ today? Can't say all of us. Only you know that. Only he knows that. But I do know that we all need Christ. Father, as we come to a close, I pray for this service as it comes to this part. We're going to hear some music, but there's going to be a moment where we can maybe get a fresh start. Maybe we need to acknowledge who you are. Maybe we need to start to live again. Maybe we start to, Lord, I'm not feeling alive like I used to. Lord, maybe I might be fearful, might be some that might be fearful of eternal things this morning. Lord, let your resurrection shine upon us, Lord, that we want to be a part of that when our time comes, that we want to live the life that you called us to live. May your Spirit move upon us in a way that only you can this morning. As we make this moment, and we ask it in Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We give you the time we have right now is the time when we open up this altar for all of us to come.